You are listening to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker who's passionate about teaching you how to understand what is happening in your body, why your body is reacting the way it is, and how to make the appropriate changes in your life to get your body back into balance. Something I've learned from my private practice is that the more patients know about their health, the more likely they are to make better diet and lifestyle choices, which ultimately leads them to a faster recovery. Each week, you are going to learn actionable tips, tricks, and teachings from myself, along with the help of top experts in the holistic health community, so that you can make better informed decisions about your body and your healthcare. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. I'm really excited this week to have Dr. Jabin with us. I don't know, some of you may follow him on Instagram. I like following him on Instagram. He has really cool videos. And we're going to have a chat today about parasites. So Dr. Jabin, thank you so much for being with us. And can you introduce yourself and tell us how you got to where you are now?
Well, thanks for having me on here. And yeah, my story comes from Lyme disease. I was a collegiate athlete, All-American high school shot put. So I was a big boy. I got up to 250 pounds and thought I was invincible, could lift what felt like the world on my shoulders. And then it all came crashing down. And that was actually after I started making healthy choices. So I started losing weight, eating healthier. I was in chiropractic school, and then joint pain, brain fog, erectile dysfunction, all these things hit me at 25. And when I went to doctors and I said, I'm really struggling, they're like, you know, sometimes at 25, erectile dysfunction just happens to guys. And I kind of looked at them like,
are you crazy?
I was like, I eat well, I work out, I take care of myself, I'm young. That just isn't acceptable for me to just say it just happens. If there's a reason behind something, sure, maybe that's okay to a point, but at least there would have been a reason. But there's no reason, it just happens. So it took me down the journey of Lyme disease, and I started asking around. Nobody knew, even had a clue what was going on with me. And then when somebody suggested Lyme, I said, how do you help it? No one had a clue about how to help it, at least not well. They're just kind of like, like it's a thing, but we don't really do it, is what a lot of functional med docs told me, or they didn't have expertise in it. So I ended up going to Wisconsin, which was about a 7-hour drive. So lots of people have had these kinds of stories, trying to find somebody that works well with this, somebody that understands it. So anyway, I got help. And if you retrace back my steps now, a decade later from being well, I figured out I lived in a moldy basement while I was an athlete, and that's when symptoms started. I started getting a sore throat kind of often and just kind of feeling a little tired, but I was 22, 23, didn't care. Like I was just like, you know, keep going. Then I went to chiropractic school, lost weight, which by the way, losing weight could create a lot of toxicity. I lost 60 pounds over a summer because I was like, I'm done being a shot putter. I don't want to be fat anymore. And here comes all the toxicity into my system. And then the stress of school starts, and you're talking 33 credit hours a semester. And just all that finally just broke my system down. And then Lyme took over, and then it was Lyme and it was parasites. And I didn't even know about mold, and then it was heavy metals because my body just couldn't defend anything.
So then you obviously developed a passion for it, and now you help others with it, correct?
Yes, exactly. And that's where I'm at now is I went through the journey, and then I got into practice. And then of course, as all of us, you know, we do what we have passion for. So I started talking about Lyme disease. So I got a few Lyme people to come see me. And then I built a whole practice on Lyme, but then Lyme brought mold, and mold brought parasites, and parasites brought radioactive elements. As far as the level of difficulty just kept stacking. Mm-hmm. And now if you could tell me something I haven't heard of, I'm intrigued. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
I feel like that's usually people that specialize in Lyme. They're like, oh, you've got an interesting case for me. I'll totally take it. You know, like, I've never heard that one before. But yeah, well, maybe we could talk about is Lyme and mold and parasites. They all tend to go together. But I feel like what's not talked about a lot is parasites.
Yeah,
I feel like you do a good job of putting it out there. And maybe we can start with, if you think you have a parasite, what do you do? Like, what's the first step?
So if you think you have a symptom,
yes, okay.
Consider parasites.
Yeah,
right. Like,
oh God,
any symptom. Consider parasites just as a possibility, right? Because like in school, we're taught differential diagnoses. Is it Lyme, parasites, mold? What is it, right? So For me, I actually think, okay, if you have anything, what causes it to happen? Is it an infection, a trauma, which can be physical or emotional, or a toxin? If you can tell me, right, I mean, even right now, just what is not in those categories that causes disease commonly, Yes, if you're in starvation, something of that nature. But outside of that, what really causes disease to humans? There's not much else. So if you have anemia, my first thought's parasites. That's the first one on my differential diagnosis, right?
And that would be because, just for listeners, if you're, I sometimes like to break it down a little bit, like if you're anemic, you know, we want to figure out why are you not absorbing iron?
And exactly.
If the parasite's living in your gut, it's probably eating up all your iron and then you don't have it in your red blood cells.
It's damaging your tissue too. And then you're having small bits of bleeding. So you're losing red blood cells. So now you're not absorbing and you're probably bleeding. So you probably have like IBS or some other type of symptom going on. Many people I meet with anemia that are just in the public, now that are calling me, by the time you call me, you've watched my Instagram page and you sought me out. But for people in public, they're like, I'm anemic. And I'm like, okay, and?
Yeah, what else? What's causing it?
And they're like, well, no, I'm just anemic. That's it. I'm like, oh, well, then, so you don't have stomach aches ever. And they're like, well, yeah, every now and then. I go, so you don't bloat, you don't have any kind of loose stool or constipation, you don't have acid reflux, none of these things. Well, yeah, of course, doesn't everybody? I'm like, just because you have it and it's common doesn't mean it should be normal.
Mm-hmm. That's
common and normal are different, right? Common in the United States, 75% of adults have a chronic condition or illness. That doesn't mean it should be normal.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, we don't have to feel like crap all the time.
it's like if you have a symptom of any kind, start looking at the whys, start removing them or breaking it down to the bottom and then go from there. So parasites are everywhere. I mean, if you have a dog, if you have a cat, if you have a cow, a horse, anything, you've had to deworm it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's just normal. Like I ask people, like, do you deworm your dog? Well, I give them heart dewormer. I'm like, so do you deworm your dog? And they're like, oh, well, yeah, like twice a year. So what we do, I'm like, okay, so your vet has you do it twice a year, just like our dentist has us clean our teeth twice a year. Why do you think that your human body, which is a mammal body, an organism on this planet, the same place, living in the same environment as your animal, is so much more powerful and healthy and clean that can't get parasites? And they're just like, well, I don't eat dog food. I'm like, your dog food honestly might be regulated more than the food you eat because you eat sushi.
Yeah.
Do you eat sushi? Do you eat rare or medium meat that has, you know, still some pink to it? Do you eat pork ever? Do you ever forget to wash your vegetables? Do you touch dirt and touch your mouth? Do you get bit by mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, which can inject parasites into you? Do you let your dog kiss your mouth? Do you let your dog in your bed where you lay and your mouth and face are? And almost nobody says no to all of those. And if they do, okay, so you've never walked barefoot outside, you've never swam in a lake, which organisms can burrow into your skin.
Yeah.
So now I just made it seem like it's impossible not to have a parasite.
Which, and probably most people, would you agree that most people have some sort of parasite living in them?
Like if you have bacteria in your gut, you probably have a parasite there too.
Yeah. And they may not all necessarily be bad. They might be causing symptoms.
And we all have bacteria in our gut. So we all probably have parasites in our bodies. That's okay. It's when the threshold of those organisms gets too high because of those three things I talked about, which is infections, toxins, and traumas, overwhelm your body's ability to adapt. That's when the problems begin. So for instance, I lived in a moldy basement, which suppressed my immune system because that's what mold does. And I was there long enough that it let parasites grow out of control and Lyme disease grow out of control. And then my body no longer, even when I was out of the mold, could suppress those things because they gotten out of control.
Yeah,
it's just like your yard. If you let it grow to 3 inches, you can mow it. 6 inches, yeah, you can mow it. You might have to do a little raking. 2.5 feet, now you need a tractor to come mow it down. And then you got to bag it up and bale it and take it away. So there's your, you got to bring in the herbs, the big guns, right? That's your tractor. And then you got to get the detoxification support in there to get rid of it. That's baling it up, the hay bales, and getting rid of it. And if you don't live in the country where I've been, it's a process, right? So you've got to add support over top of your daily life to get well.
That is a great analogy. I really like that. Just so your body is regularly mowing the lawn, right? Taking care of all that. But like you said, if you let it go too long because you're too busy dealing with trauma or another infection or, you know, anything else, stress in general, a pandemic, have you seen an increase in your, I mean, I feel like everyone who's in this, if you're in any sort of healthcare, we've all been very, very busy in the last 18 months because stress levels are high and people are having way more traumatic experiences than I feel like we've ever had before on an emotional, you know, especially on an emotional level, which is suppressing all of our immune systems.
People are so stressed, so worried, so fearful, no matter what side of any of this you're on, whether it's the fear of getting sick or the fear of being forced into something, everybody on all sides is afraid, which is suppressing your immune system, because emotional trauma takes energy and it weighs on you.
Yes.
Right. So that emotional energy, just like if you lose somebody or you're told you have cancer or you're told someone else has cancer. I mean, my mom was told just a last week that we're going into round three of cancer. And it's horrible. And I just sat down and I went through my thought process. I mean, she called me and asked for help. And I was like, Mom, I love you. I can't be your doctor, but I've got lots of friends who will be, because my mom looks at me and sees this little baby boy in diapers.
Yeah.
And, you know, she just doesn't want to listen to everything I have to say. I'm like, we've got to get you some help. We got to get your body well. And it's not just right now. It's forever, because this keeps coming back. There's a reason why it keeps coming back. But that stress on me, on her, on my dad, that weighs. And that's just like putting a bar on your back. So I speak in analogies, because my goal is for everybody in the world to understand medicine, right? So imagine walking around with a weightlifting bar on your back. It's 45 pounds. Pretty much any of us can walk around with that on our backs for a period of time. Yeah, it'll make you more tired, especially if you're marching up a mountain going on a hike, right? 45 pounds is a lot. I used to weigh 250. It hurt to wake up and more walk around, because it's a lot of body weight. At 200, it's a lot easier. So that's just a start. Now you have somebody tells you something traumatic like that. So let's just add some 45 plates to the side. Well, I can still walk with 135 pounds on me. I like to lift weights. So that's not too bad. Okay. But then you add the stress of this pandemic. There's another set of 45s. Now it's 225 on my back. Can I still walk with it? Sure. I don't know how far, but I can walk with it. I'm not going for very long.
But you're not
going
to feel good.
Yeah. I'm not going to feel good. I'm going to feel weighed down. Well, so now I've got two stressors on me. What happens when I get bit by a tick, I stay the night or a week in a moldy hotel room or Airbnb or something, right? And that mold weighs on me. So now you start adding stacking plates on. There's 315, there's 405. And I'm going up by numbers of 90, because that's what you put plates on. I'm a weightlifter, right? So I got 405 pounds on my back. I can stand with that. I can squat with that, but only 10 times.
Yeah. And then you're done.
I'm not walking very far. I'm not walking more than across my gym with that. And then I'm going to collapse. And if you keep stacking weight on, because that's what happens, by the way, is all those things that I just talked about stacked weight on my shoulders. But when I'm down, when it takes me down to the ground, now parasites are crawling in, Lyme disease and bacteria. But
they're opportunistic. They're like, oh, this person's down. I'm going to come in and I'm going to take over.
Yeah. And that's what happens to people. And that's what's happening right now, is their bucket's full and their bodies are stuck on the ground and are held down by all this weight. And now you got to start stripping the weights to get it. And that's where parasites are so important, because I've seen so many people fail to get well because they never addressed parasites. And parasites are large organisms. They're large organisms that no one thinks about. So they get in your liver, they get in your gut, they get in your bile ducts, they get in your lymph. And they're large enough, because they're multicellular organisms, that they block up those areas. They literally block them up like a clog in your pipe in your house, right? And if you try to flush a toilet, when the toilet's clogged or when there's stuff in that pipe, what happens? It comes all back up, right? So if you try to flush mold or metal or anything else out of the body when you're clogged up with parasites, it recirculates and you feel like crap, for lack of a better word. You know, since we're on that sort of flush topic, you feel like crap. You feel hungover. You feel like you have the flu-like symptoms, which are herxes, which are detox or die-off reactions. But when you get the parasites out, everything just seems to move more clearly. And although parasites can be systemically throughout your body, the ones I'm talking about starting with are the larger helminths, which are a type of worm-like organisms that can dam things up. Now, I may come back later to those protozoan parasites, which are your babesias, that are singular organisms that are out in your joints and brain and other areas. Or even sometimes I wait to come back to the nematodes, which are a few millimeters in size. So they're visible by the naked eye, which 70% of parasites are not visible by the naked eye, but nematodes can get into your brain and other tissues too. So I'm talking about the big helmets first, and that's just because they dam everything up.
So, all right. So we talked about those. So those are typically the ones that you're going to find in lymph, in bile ducts, in the GI tract. And so we want to clear those out first. When you're treating, do you often test for them, or will you just go and start treating? Because it's so hard to find them on tests.
So I'm releasing a summit October.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The Parasite Summit. Awesome. And there's 40 docs, and we all talk about our own personal viewpoint on that. Not all of us get into it because we talked about it a lot on a few, and I was like, all right, let's skip that question because
it can be a dicey question.
Well, I mean, it's not even as dicey. It's just like everybody didn't want to hear 40 different opinions about a test.
Yeah, that's true.
Testing is crappy.
Yeah.
When it comes to parasites, I'm just going to keep talking about poop, right? So it's crappy, and it's because it's stool samples, right? So
yeah.
That's the main way that you look for parasites. And there are several different types of technologies. There's PCR, there's different types of tests where you actually look for the organism ovum under a microscope. There are gene sequencing type testing, and they're all a little different. They all pick up different parasites differently, and some better than the other with different ones. Like, are you going to get a lot of Giardia or blastocytosis? What are you going to see? But most of it's stool sampling. There are lumbar punctures, which I don't necessarily recommend, but you can do that. And they look and they find different things floating in your lumbar, which means it's in your cerebral spinal fluid, which is meaning that's going to be affecting your brain. So these are different types of testing, is stool lumbar puncture. You can do blood tests to look for different markers, such as inflammatory markers, but it is not direct, right?
Yep.
So if your C-reactive protein, sed rate, homocysteine are up, I'm going to consider parasite to be a possibility. If your eosinophils are up, I'm going to consider it to be a possibility. Parasites raise ALT and AST, which are both liver markers, more than anything else I've seen. But what people don't talk about enough is when you become malnutritioned due to parasites, ALT, AST, cholesterol go down.
They become low.
Yeah. So then if your LDH is low, which is another liver marker, then we start having to go, okay, you're malnutritioned. You're weak. Your constitution is low if you're talking about homeopathy, or your chi might be low if you're talking about Eastern medicine. So it's just different ways that the different types of medicine communicate that you're weak. And if you're weak, then we've got to build some strength before you can go after detoxing. So if I see these types of things, then I'm thinking about parasites, but there's no great one way to get parasites. Okay. If you're good, do little stool samples. Do some biofilm busters if your body can handle them before you do the stool sample, because that might open you up to being able to see what's in there a little bit more, because parasites don't just come out every sample either. Yeah. They have life cycles. So they're going to come out during their life cycle. So maybe they're more active in the morning and not active at night. Maybe they're more active over the full moon, which many are, and not at other times of the month. So multiple samples, different times of the day, different parts of the month is necessary for you to even get a concept of the best opportunity. And by the way, parasites have spent millennia reinfecting you, learning to infect you, learning not to be seen, learning not to come out. They don't come out. They actually release endotoxins into your body that stops you from being able to poop. So constipation. So they stay inside you. These are things.
Very smart. They're very smart.
Yeah. That they've had millennia to figure out how best to infect you, make you a great host, not kill you, reproduce and survive.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes it. I have a quick question about that, just for my own personal. Do you see ALP-FOX being low? And what, do you see that low? Are you thinking parasites? That
I just got low. And if it is lower, then I do think liver, and then parasite, but it also could be different types of mold.
Liver
function too. And of course, if the ALP-FOX is high, then we've got to go, okay, is it toxic liver or is this cancer? You know?
Yeah. But low, I find it low in a lot of my patients, and I see it correlate a lot with low vitamin D, but I'd never fought parasite before. I just was like, that's an interesting, like, if that's the only thing, like, I have no eosinophils, no other markers elevated, would you think, I mean, you said you're thinking that with, you're thinking parasites with most things.
It's not that parasites might even be the biggest, baddest, rudest cause. It's just that
it's probably there and needs to be
on your list of okay.
In the differential.
Yeah.
I liked your discussion about someone's constitution is with your weight analogy. If you're up to like 500 pounds and you're a 150 pound woman, you're not going to start with doing a full blown parasite detox. You need to build, as you said, chi or whatever terminology. I like to call it chi is a good word for it. You got to build your energy up, right? Because if you're not strong and your body doesn't have metabolic energy, you're not going to be getting anything out. So pushing any detox pathways on a great, which comes back to my reminder every week, make sure you're working with a practitioner. If you think you're struggling with something, don't just buy some, you know, random parasite cleanse and do it on your own. Probably talk through, is this the right time to do something? Do you find that people have done that? People coming in and saying, oh, I took this, and I felt like crap, or this happened. Because you have to be careful with herbs. Herbs, they're natural, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're always safe or they won't cause side effects.
Yeah. So I like that, you know, one thing I do say, even back when I wasn't doing as many sensitive people, I would work with people that were massively focused on essential oils. And they're like, there's no toxic level. There's no dangerous level. And I go, anything that has a therapeutic effect has an either toxic or dangerous level. Not to say that it's something you're going to do. Like, you might have to drink bottles of something to be harmful. But if you're going to be, if there's a good, there's a bad.
Yeah.
And I actually have a funny story. A client of mine that I've worked with now for a while, she's doing amazing. She took Noni Miranda, which is one of my favorite herbs, for parasites, and ended up like laying herself out on her yard. She literally took it, was so anxious and so worn down from the herks that she's like, I just passed out on my lawn and was just laying there staring at the sun, like praying not to die. And I'm
not so bad.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, she's a little bit on the dramatic side sometimes. So although I believe that this happened, that she did this, but we've done Miranda now. Like, I've done Miranda with her. I've done a high dose, way higher than she had done with her.
But you opened up her detox
pathways. When I opened up the drainage pathways, we cleared the easier stuff. We built up her body. We cleared her brain. We did all this extra work before I threw some of the strong things in there. She can handle so much better now. And now she's almost symptom free. And before, she had anxiety scale 10. She was fatigued. She had stomach aches. I mean, it's a process that you have to work your way through. And if you do it properly, it doesn't have to be that bad. Will there be some ups and downs? For sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be miserable.
Yes. That's a great story to highlight that. If you try to pull stuff out of your system, and particularly, as you said, these organisms that don't want to come out, they're like trying to stay in there, which is a little bit different from something like Lyme. Do you typically start, like, if someone's got mold, Lyme, and let's say like Epstein-Barr, would you clear those first before the parasites?
No, I mean, again,
it's a case.
So here's my thing. If it was a perfect world, I'd say this. Are you in a safe environment? And if the client could answer the question, yes. And I have a big questionnaire of all the things that it requires to be a safe environment. Yes. Okay. So we're not in mold. We're not in radioactive elements. The water is clean. You're not in an emotional abusive or stress, like work environment, abusive lifestyle, and several other things. You eat enough, all that. If all those questions are, you're in a safe place. Okay. Now I evaluate you on two questions, which is, what's the worst thing so I can give you the biggest bang for your time? And what do I have to get out to allow for that to happen without causing your body to crash? And I evaluate based off of those sorts of things. I also muscle test, of course, we're looking at labs and all of that. But 70% of the time, it is parasites when I'm looking at somebody with multi-infectious toxic syndromes, because parasites, again, gum up my ability to get the rest of that stuff out. Whereas mold doesn't really stop me from getting the rest of the stuff out.
Yeah.
Once you're out of mold.
Yes. Very good point. So clean environment, I think, is the place that most people should be starting. And like you said, or you call it safe environment, which I like that.
Yes.
So you're looking at water, you're looking at air, you're looking at whether they're, you know, hydrating, whether they're eating enough, like basic stuff is taken care of and a good level. Right.
Yes.
And then you would move and see what would be appropriate as the next step.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, it's like you or myself or all my friends in this field, like, they're the basic thought processes for us are the safe environment.
Yeah.
But most people have never heard of a lot of things that we're doing.
Yeah.
Who knew to distill water because it doesn't remove, like, a reverse osmosis water filter does not remove radioactive elements. Well, who knew that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I didn't know that either until I started running a ton of hair tissue mineral analysis on people who have reverse osmosis systems because they spent the money to put a $10,000 system. And I'm not talking cheap ones. I'm talking like top of the line ones. One of them looks like it's a freaking spaceship in her basement. She's like, you're telling me this $40,000 thing that I put in my basement that looks like a spaceship doesn't do the job. And I'm like, well, based off of all the information, you have two kids that don't live at home. And there's five of you that do live at home. And your radioactive elements are off the chart for the ones at home and non-existent for the ones out of the house? Yes.
Interesting. And which elements are you seeing elevated?
So radium.
Yeah.
Of course, radon, but that's a different problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then uranium are the ones that I'm looking at. And they're elevated in people that are drinking water that has it in there, of course, or it's in your ground. And you got to differentiate between ground and water based off of looking at radon testing. And you can go to environmentalworkergroup.com and look at radium in the ground around you, but you can have radium in the ground, but not necessarily getting it. But if your water pipes are going through the ground, then it gets irradiated, then you drink it, it's a problem. Distillation is the only way to stop this that I'm aware of. And it has significantly changed my success rates. I'm working with a family who, the family I just mentioned, who saw some of the best in our field. I mean, big name people with multiple clinics that are very successful, people that I've watched and learned from, who just didn't test for that because it's just not part of their testing procedure. They got them, you know, they found mold, they found Lyme, they found parasites, they
found all the things.
They tested for water, they made sure it was metal, not uranium. And just changing that, I'm seeing massive gains in this family. And I'm not necessarily a better doctor. I just happened to test for that thing.
Interesting. So are you testing it through blood? This is great. This is why I love doing this podcast. So like every episode I learn something. Is it through blood?
It's either hair or urine.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Oh, you do both to compare.
And hair is much better than urine because urine is in the moment, where hair is a 90-day test.
Yeah. Interesting. And so that's interesting. And yeah, if you've got those two things in your system, you're probably a much nicer place for certain parasites to live, correct?
Oh, for sure. If you have, so radioactive elements and mold are the only two things out there that I've seen. And I'm sure that at any level, something else could be this bad. But the only two things that consistently, when I see high levels of mold or your radioactive elements, that person's organic acid test for their entire energy system is a wreck.
Yeah, well, it destroys everything like at the level of the mitochondria.
Yeah. So your mitochondria are just abused. You're not making energy. You're not regulating your immune system. You have gone through this journey of healing and never see the light of day because it's just like, oh, I feel a little bit better, crash. I feel a little bit better, crash. And it doesn't matter what you do, who you see. And these are the people that have been to everybody. And this is where this whole safe environment concept for me came up, because I was just like, why are you going to some of my friends or other people in our field that are phenomenal? I know they're good because I communicate with them and we bounce ideas. I know they're good. Why did your care with them fail? And then I was like, well, we got to go to the safe environment concept of you have to be in a safe place to heal. And the scary part about that is water's not that big a deal. You get a distiller, you get okay. Like that's easy. Safe environment for mold or work or people.
Yes, that's a little bit harder. Yeah.
But at least if I test your house and it has mold and you're like, I can't get out for a year, at least
you know where the problem is. Yeah.
Like that gives some solace of at least seeing why.
Yeah.
So that's where I've come to now is like, here's my checklist.
Yeah.
Do you meet these requirements? Yes. Great. Let's move forward. No. Can you meet it? And if not, let's have a conversation of how much slower that's going to make it, which has made my communication with clients so much better. Cause I'm like, look, if you decide that you're going to try this with me and you're living in mold, your likelihood of success is much less, or at least much, much longer, if at all.
Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome. So I know you hang out on Instagram a lot. Where's the best place for people to find you if they're curious to learn more or they want to work with you? You work with people virtually, correct?
I do. So my clinic is virtual and we have several doctors that are all different specialties, from hormones to mold to neurotransmitters, and we all kind of collaborate all the time. That's today, the day we're recording this is my day where I do doctor training. We all train each other to make sure we're on the same page, but we're virtual. But find me on Instagram, Dr. Javen Moore, Facebook, Dr. Javen Moore, my Facebook group where we do a question and answer every week, True Healing Strategies, my website, Dr. Javen Moore, or right now we're releasing that Parasite Summit. It's free. So come watch that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you. This was awesome. Is there any other one last thing? I feel like you've given so many great tips, but any other one last advice that you'd like to give to listeners if they're on healing journey?
Gosh, I like to always kind of end talks with just like, there's always hope. Never give up, because I've seen people that have been doing this journey for 50 years, literally 50 years, and now feel better than they felt 50 years ago. And by the way, they're 50 years older. They're instead of 20, they're 70, right? I've seen people go through this. So there is always hope. Just keep digging. And that's dig and dig and dig and just reach out and get help. There is somebody that can help you, whether it's me or not. Like I'm not a specialist at everything. Just reach out to people, get help, and just keep fighting.
Yeah, I think that's a great message. Thank you so much. And part of the reason I started this is because, you know, I might not necessarily be the best doctor for everyone. I don't know everything. And every time I interview someone, I always learn something more. And I'm glad that I might have a couple of people to send you actually some I've sending some people you write. But thank you so much. This was great. Hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to connect with me over on Facebook at Dr. Kinney ND and Instagram at Dr. Kinney to find more helpful tips and information. As always, you can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at drerinkinney.com/podcast. See you next week.